The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, our next guest has, in the last fortnight, featured on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list of people to watch. But it's probably not the most interesting part of Bobby Idogo's story. Age 7, he arrived in Ireland from Nigeria, and less than 3 years ago, he co-founded a London and Lisbon-based company that is expected to have a turnover of £7 million this year. The company, Radically Digital, is a tech consultancy firm that has helped businesses such as Wagamama and Just Eat on their digital transformation, covering everything from software to design. Bobby, you're very welcome to the show. You started the company with another guy. Tell me a little bit about your co-founder. How did you meet?
So his name's Ollie. We actually met on the very first day of induction at my previous company that I worked at in London. So he was actually the first person I met when I walked in the door running late as usual. And we got chatting just around our background. So he came from a bit of a non-traditional background for tech. So he came from traditional engineering, building machinery for warehouses and operating lines before doing a conversion course into tech. But he's also white South African, so had grown up in a very different background to London and a very different culture, kind of, and had worked in Nigeria as well. So we immediately hit it off just from a mutual understanding of the importance of diversity and travel and how that factors into building a great team as well.
So the fact that you're originally from Nigeria, grew up in Ireland, in Dundalk, he's from South Africa originally, did that help you in setting up a company in London and driving it forward? Because you're kind of outside, both of you, of the stereotypical London bubble that might be there.
Yeah, I suppose neither of us went to your traditional English public schools. We'd also both grown up across multiple different countries and also different continents as well.
And your own background, Bobby, you were born in Nigeria, in Lagos. You were quite young when you left. Do you remember much about that?
Yeah, so I definitely still have a lot of memories. I have been back to visit since, but I do have a lot of memories of actually living there. So a lot of it involves the traffic challenges that Lagos has. So sitting in a car in the middle of rush hour traffic, where a journey that's meant to take about half an hour ends up taking 4 or 5 hours, with engines burning beside you and sitting there in like 30 degrees heat, just sweating and wondering how the hell you ended up there on your way home from school.
And is it just because the city has grown so rapidly, and or is it the case that there are a lot of old cars?
Yeah, so it's a mixture of both. So Lagos, actually Nigeria in general, is about 200 million people, but it's also one of the fastest growing populations. So I think by 2050, it's meant to be 400 million people. But then there's also a lot of things that just don't operate as we would expect over here. Cars that don't necessarily, that shouldn't pass NCT or MOT over here, but are still on the road. So 30, 40, 50-year-old cars that break down, and then because the traffic is so bad, no one can kind of get to them to pull them off the street.
And what about your parents in Nigeria? Your mother had a shop. Do you remember being in the shop?
Yeah, so my mom, when we lived in Nigeria, was a fashion designer. So she had a couple of boutique stores that made like wedding dresses and clothes that, I mean, this was back in the 90s, so looking back at it now, looked hideous, but at the time were probably quite on trend. So I grew up, I suppose, after school, spending quite a bit of time just running around the store, and grew up around commerce to some extent. So I still remembered the smells of the sewing machines, the old Singer ones with the wheel on them, just with the constant kind of clatter as they work through the alterations and building and designing new dresses, etc. So, yeah, so I still remember it quite well.
That's really high skilled, isn't it? When you're, you know, designing and making dresses like that, your mother must have been just very handy, very high skilled.
Yeah, she is a very, very impressive woman. So she's one of the most determined people I'd say I've ever met. Constantly learning, constantly doing new courses, and there's kind of a running joke in the family, what's she going to study next? So there's always a new idea that she wants to jump onto. So yeah, I think growing up around that sort of determination and motivation to succeed was definitely a big inspiration for me as well.
And it must have been pretty hectic for her because she had four kids at that stage while running the business and working in the shop and everything.
Yeah, so four kids. I have an older sister, older brother, and then there's myself, and it was my younger sister just below me at that point. So my older brother and sister were off at, they were in boarding school at the time, luckily, but I remember my younger sister and I would just be running around the store. I still remember as I, at one point I broke a pricing gun, if you remember those pricing guns where
the
yellow labels, yeah, on different hangers. And I remember just being so annoyed. So this came up a few years ago, and once she remembered the memory, she still gets annoyed today about the fact that I broke that pricing gun.
I won't ask what you were doing with her or what you were using it for, but it got broken anyway.
Yeah, I probably just dropped it. So I was quite a hyper child at the time.
And you sound, it's funny you say you were a hyper kid. You sound very chilled. You don't come across as hyper at all.
Yeah, so I think actually part of the reason behind that is the move to Ireland. I think the culture shock, if I was to reflect on it, the culture shock of moving to just such a different country with different traditions, different people, different cultures, made me a lot more introspective. So taking the time to just observe and take things in a little bit more before responding. So I think if you ask most people now, friends, family, etc., how to describe me, it would probably be like cool, calm and collected. But that definitely wasn't always the case.
When the family moved, you originally went to Dublin. Did you know anything about Ireland or about Dublin or anything about the place?
No. So I think originally I thought we were going to London. So I was quite surprised when we got on a plane and ended up in this place. I still remember sitting in a taxi and just asking my mum repeatedly, where are we going? And she was like, Dublin. I was like, Dublin. Never heard of it. Okay. So yeah, had definitely never really heard much about Ireland. Didn't really know what it was or where it was at seven. So yeah, it was quite an interesting move. And I think at the time they also said we were going on holiday. So it's a bit of a running joke in the family that it's been like a 20-year holiday that we haven't come back from yet.
So you were only seven, you arrived in Dublin, and then you moved to Dundalk. What was that like?
Yeah, so Dundalk's a very interesting place. I think I was probably eight at the time, by the time we moved to Dundalk. We were probably one of the early black families in Dundalk, so this would have been back in 2001, 2002. And there wasn't a lot of multiculturalism there at the time. So that was quite an interesting experience in and of itself. But generally, the people of Dundalk are very friendly and overall quite welcoming. There were obviously a few instances of like racism at the time, mainly more to do with like my mum or my older siblings, whereas because I was a bit younger, kids are a lot more welcoming of all sorts of people. So I didn't really personally experience much of it.
And what did your mother experience? Is the things people would have said to her, nasty things? How did it manifest itself?
So quite often it wasn't so much the explicit things that were said. It was more what wasn't said or just a general feeling, or in work situations where it was kind of clear that she wasn't being put forward for certain things, or that people were just a little bit more reserved around her, weren't quite as welcoming as they could have been.
Do you think to some extent there was a sense of not knowing, a lack of experience about meeting people from Africa, black people, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to be? Or do you think at times it was a bit more malign than that?
I think a lot of it, we realized quite early on, just came more from a place of ignorance than a place of, you know, hatred or anger specifically. I think a lot of it was just people just didn't quite know how to react because they'd never met a black person before. Even when I was a little bit older, I remember going on a trip to Tipperary to visit one of my friends from university and just getting high fives across the nightclub because I was the first black person that a few of them had met. And this would have been like in probably like 2012 at that point as well. So, I mean, I think it's more just from a place of, inexperience of maybe hanging around with people from such different cultures, as opposed to any underlying, malice behind some of it. Although obviously there are instances of that as well.
And what was school like for you?
Yeah, school was quite interesting. So I went to Closteriche in Dundalk for secondary school. So it was a very normal state school. The fact that it was such a normal school meant that I got to interact with a very diverse group of people. So everything from your townies to your colchis to people that had money to people that didn't have any money. It really helped in terms of my ability now to interact and work with people from all types of backgrounds.
And your mother moved over with you guys on her own. Your dad stayed behind. And what about work for her? How did she get by? How did she get on there?
Like I mentioned earlier, she's quite a determined and motivated woman. So she saw some of the challenges that people from different cultures and ethnicities were facing when they moved to Ireland. So very early on, she decided she wanted to do something to help change it. So she studied social work, became a social worker. So she's worked across everything from child protection social work through to probation work, through to working with people with like alcoholism and all sorts of different challenges. And then more recently, she's actually qualified as a psychosexual relationship therapist. So she's now building out a whole new business and a whole new practice, helping couples and families, etc., work through their challenges.
Now, when it comes to Dundalk, Bobby, you know, I'm trying to get a sense of, did you really like it there when you look back on it? You didn't end up with a Dundalk accent anyway.
So I think even as a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old moving to Dundalk, I realized quite early on that the accent wasn't for me. So yeah, I think a lot of people pick up on the fact that I definitely don't have a Dundalk accent, or at least not a strong one at all. So it was more just moving over and hearing things like hostiple instead of hospital made me realize that maybe I should keep my slightly more neutral accent.
I love the Dundalk accent. I absolutely think it's wonderful. And whenever I hear an accent from that part of the world, I always feel like I'm home.
Okay, fair. I feel that way maybe more so with Dublin. Maybe it's more because I spent the last 7 years, I suppose most of my, from about 17 until, onwards, living in Dublin, that feels a little bit more like home. So I do like it as an accent, just not necessarily as an accent on myself.
So you like the sound of it, but you didn't like the sound of it for you.
Yes, exactly.
You went to university then, you went to Trinity College. And was that a very positive experience for you, going to Dublin, to Trinity? Again, you're moving to the capital and more change.
Yeah, so I suppose Dublin felt a lot, very quickly, like home. So I really, really loved my time in Dublin. Like, I would highly recommend Trinity to anyone wondering where to go for university. Met some of the, you know, most talented, intelligent people there as well. So from all sorts of backgrounds, most people I met there, compared to maybe growing up in Dundalk, had generally done a lot more travel, had experienced a lot more diversity already. So it felt very much like you didn't feel different in any way, if that makes sense. Because, you know, a lot of my friends had spent time traveling around Africa, or they'd already spent time in Nigeria specifically, or elsewhere in the world. So there was that sense of diversity was very much encouraged and welcomed, as opposed to maybe being seen as something a little bit different.
And some of the family, where do they go? Where did your siblings go? You have one brother in Nigeria, is that right?
Yeah, so I suppose as we've grown older, we've all kind of traveled and spread out around the world a little bit. So my brother worked in Google in Dublin for a few years and then moved to back to Nigeria actually to join a fintech, as I think he's now the CEO of the fintech.
And how did he find that change, you know, returning there? Obviously, not so much a culture shock, but at the same time, a big change to go back.
I think to some extent it is almost a culture shock. So if you speak to a lot of the people who have grown up or been born in the UK or Ireland or America or wherever else it might be, and then move back to Nigeria, you do get that bit of culture shock because it is different visiting to actually living there. There are a lot of just daily frustrations with certain things. So, for example, the power situation there as an electricity. So you don't have power 24/7. It's generally rotated unless you live in certain areas. So everyone has to have a generator if you can afford one. So there are those frustrations, and also just in general, there are elements of still like corruption and processes that should work in quite a seamless way, just don't work the way you would normally expect it. So it does take that little bit of mental adjustment to move back there. But at the same time, it is an incredibly fun city, country, and there's lots and lots of opportunities. Like I mentioned, there's the population is growing incredibly fast. So with that comes lots of opportunities for new ideas, for new businesses. There's also opportunities to leapfrog from a tech point of view as well. So to bring ideas that you've seen work over here and build even better ones over there, because you don't have the, I suppose, the legacy systems in between to have to navigate.
What about your mom? Has she ever considered going back to live there?
So I think she is, I think throughout our entire childhood and then even now, she's always kind of flip-flops between the idea of moving back to Nigeria is like she loves as an idea, but I think every time she goes there for a month or two after about the first or second month, she's ready to come back to Ireland and just kind of get a bit of a break from it all.
And for you, the question of identity, Bobby, is not straightforward. You know, how you described yourself as Nigerian Irish. How does that work in your own head vis-a-vis your own identity?
That's a very good question. So I suppose partly because of growing up in two different cultures, I'm very much the type of person now that wherever I am becomes home. So right now I feel like London is very much home. I've kind of made a home for myself here, built a business here, etc. But that possibly stems from the fact that it's hard to say exactly where home is when you grow up in sort of a third culture situation. So I normally describe myself as, I suppose how I introduce myself and where I'm from depends also on who's asking and what I assume the context is.
Well, let me make the identity question a bit easier for you. Nigeria are playing Ireland in a football match. Who are you cheering for?
That's a good question. In that instance, probably Nigeria if it was in a football match, more because, I suppose in a football match I'd be cheering Nigeria, but if it was the case of someone asking where are you from, I normally would end up saying Ireland first before I would say Nigeria.
So that runs a bit deeper when it comes to football. Let's say you're in a meeting or you're in a restaurant or a bar in London and a couple of English people are talking and one of them starts slagging off Ireland in some way, not realising that you grew up there. Do you jump in and defend the place or what would you do?
Yeah, actually, that happens quite a bit. So, yeah, I'd jump in and defend Ireland. But, yeah, I suppose that's actually one of the beauties of growing up in multiple countries is that I can make fun of Ireland because I grew up there. I can make fun of Nigeria because I kind of grew up there as well. But then you can also defend both of them and kind of take pride in the successes of both countries at the same time.
What about the business climate in London at the moment? It's the same in Ireland vis-a-vis battle for highly skilled labour. There seems to be labour shortages. Companies are having to pay higher wages in many cases to hire the right people. But what's the atmosphere like there at the moment? And is Brexit a factor as well when it comes to hiring people?
So I think how I describe the atmosphere in London is everyone knows that some kind of recession or dip or some kind of, negative event is coming. You know it's coming, but you're not quite sure, or you'd like to pretend like it isn't to some extent. So Brexit definitely has played a big factor in it. So salaries and labor costs here are exponentially high, especially in the tech industry. There's a real shortage of good tech talent left in London. It still exists, but the rates that you're paying for getting that good talent has definitely gone up.
What about being included in the Forbes 30 under 30 list? Were you really pleased when you saw it? You got the news about that? What does it mean to you?
I wasn't actually aware that I'd made the list when the list came out because the emails were a few hours delayed. So I just happened to be scrolling through the list, looking at who else I might know on the list or if I recognize any of the companies. And then I just saw my name there and my image. And for the first 10 minutes, I was convinced that I was just logged into the Forbes website or something. And that's why my image was there, because the same one that I use on my Gmail account. And it took me a while to realize like I'd actually made the list. And then a few hours later, the email came in. So I was like, okay, I can actually tell people now, because I, for the first few hours, I wasn't sure, because I was like, if I'd made the list, they definitely would have emailed me. And since nothing came through, I decided I'd just hold off just to make sure.
And there's nothing worse than telling people and then discovering you were wrong.
Exactly, yeah. That would have been much worse.
What about your mom? What did she say when you told her?
I think in usual mum fashion, she was... So I posted in our family WhatsApp chat, and everyone was like, oh, congratulations, like super excited. And my mum sent a message like, oh my God, that's amazing, congrats. Then about 3 hours later, sent another message saying, so what is this Forbes thing? So she actually had no idea what it was at the time, but was just being supportive as always.
And what about the future for the company, Bobby? Do you want to just keep growing in London? Are you looking at overseas markets? Would you look at coming back to Ireland and basing an operation here?
So it's definitely something I've considered more recently, around whether having a presence in Ireland would make sense. So there's obviously lots of advantages. So being an Irish citizen is one, and also wanting to have a connection to Dublin still. The other is also the business reason of having that access to the European market, because there's a lot of tech talent out in Europe as well as in Dublin, which we could then tap into quite easily without having to worry about visa requirements as well. So it's something that is a potential for the future, but not necessarily immediately a plan for the next year or so.
Well, Bobby Idogo, a proud Nigerian Dundalk man, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, co-founder of Radically Digital. Thank you very much for joining us.